PR box is an object like this. It's a kind of a black box which admits two inputs, X and Y, and produces two outputs, A and B. X, Y, A, B all take values 0 and 1. And the outputs are correlated. Correlated such that the sum mod 2 of A and B is equal to the product of X and Y. Also, we have that Alice's marginal probability for getting A equals 0 is independent of the inputs X and Y, and similarly Bob. These last two conditions are sufficient to ensure that this object is non-signaling, so you can't use it to send messages back and forth. Now, these correlations are non-local. In fact, if you plug them into the CHSH expression, you return a value of 4, which is actually the algebraic maximum of the expression. So there's some sense in which they're maximally non-local, despite being non-signaling. And this shows that they are super quantum. In other words, you can't get these correlations by performing measurements on any quantum state. We know this from Cyrilson's theorem, which says that quantum mechanics can return a value of at most 2 root 2 for the CHSH expression. So this is called a PR box because these correlations were described by Popescu and Rohlik in a Found Fizz paper. Actually, they weren't the first. Independently, some other people had described these correlations before that, Kalfi and Cyrilson in some paper, and I think there were others. But the PR box seems to be becoming the sort of accepted term for these things, so it's what I'm calling them. There has been recent interest in these things. Part of it is to do with the idea of regarding non-locality as an information theoretic resource. And then you start to answer all the sort of questions that brings to do with characterizing correlations, interconvertibility, quantification, and so on. So there have been some papers to do with that sort of thing. That's not what I'm going to talk about. So, Popescu and Rohlik, they asked this question, why does quantum mechanics not allow these correlations? Well, I mean, what sort of form could an answer to that question possibly take? Well, here's a suggestion. Van Damme has this result, where he showed that if Alice and Bob share enough of these PR boxes, then they can solve the inner product problem in communication complexity with only one bit of communication. And you can contrast this with the quantum case where if they share even unlimited entanglement, they still need to communicate n bits. And actually this implies that you can basically solve any problem in communication complexity with constant communication. So, if we regard the idea of communication complexity as being somehow trivial, as being somehow a priori implausible, then we have some kind of answer to Popescu and Rohlik's question. So, I started thinking about, can we say anything else along these lines? What would be other consequences of PR boxes? What about other information theoretic sort of problems? How about cryptography, computation? The thing is, these sorts of questions aren't meaningful unless we have a dynamics for these objects. That is, we need a proper toy theory whose states include these things with dynamics and so on. Before we can really begin to ask about these other questions. So I started to develop such a thing, and what I ended up with was a kind of a framework which actually includes a whole host of different toy theories. one of which includes these PR boxes and things, one of which is quantum mechanics. All these theories have in common that their states are non-signaling and the dynamics is linear. And it's this framework that I want to tell you about. Now, I should say this is, this is recent and it's very much work in progress. Also, I'm pretty much completely ignorant of the quantum logic literature. So, it seems quite likely that something like this framework or some broader framework that includes it has been well studied by quantum logic people. What I suspect has not been done so much as to look at the information processing properties in particular of the different theories that lie within this framework. So that's what I'm going to focus on. And for this reason, I thought input from both quantum logic people and the quantum information community could potentially be useful here, which was why I was pleased to give this talk at this particular conference. Right, a framework for non-signaling linear theories. Let's begin. So I'm going to start off with the idea of a single system in this framework. If we look at a PR box again, this is obviously a bipartite sort of thing. There's two inputs there, X and Y. So a single system is just going to be something that looks like half of that. It takes one input, produces one output. At least this is our starting point. So here we are. So a single system, we start off thinking of it as a kind of black box, which just takes one input X, which can take on a range of different values drawn from some set I, and produces an output A, which takes on values from some set O, assume finite number of different values. And the state of an object like this can be specified simply by giving the probability for each output given a particular input. And we can write all these probabilities in the form of a vector, which I call P. There is a normalization constraint, which is the sum of the probabilities for each output for a particular input is 1. Now, in general, we can think of putting an input as being a measurement on the system. And in general, other measurements will be possible. So there's more you can do with this object than simply put in a particular value of X and get an output. So if you like, we can think of these particular measurements as being, in some sense, fiducial measurements. In other words, knowing the probabilities of outcomes of these measurements is enough to define the state. This is the term Lucien uses in his axioms paper. I think there's a slight difference. His fiducial measurements are always just yes-no measurements, whereas I have here each value of X is a fiducial measurement and has multiple outcomes. How about bipartite systems? Well, they look like this. We have two inputs now, X and Y, outputs A and B. And the state is specified just by giving all the joint probabilities for output pairs, even input pairs. Again, there's normalization constraints. We are always going to assume that these states are non-signaling. And this places linear constraints on the vector P. Note also that there's another assumption here, which has just been made implicitly. And this is that the global state of the system is completely determined by correlations between outcomes of local measurements. Now, this needn't be true of a general sort of theory. For example, this isn't true in quantum mechanics defined on a real Hilbert space. So it's not clear how that would fit into this sort of formalism. But we're going to assume it anyway. Okay. multipartite systems are similar. So how about measurements? Well, first of all, a yes-no measurement is represented by a vector R, and the probability of getting the yes outcome is equal to R dot P. And obviously we must have that R dot P is between 0 and 1 for all P in S, where S is the set of allowed states in a particular theory. What about measurements with more than one outcome? Well, we'll say that if R1 and R2 themselves are possible yes-no measurements, and if R1 plus R2 dot P is between 0 and 1 for all P and S, then R1 and R2 can represent different outcomes of a single measurement. So this is very much like the effects in quantum mechanics. And finally, we'll say that a system is destroyed on measurement, which may sound restrictive, but it's actually not that restrictive. For example, you can always imagine that we measure the system and then, having destroyed it, simply replace it with another system which we've just prepared in some standard state. And then taking that as a whole, it looks like you haven't destroyed the system. You will, of course, have disturbed it in some way. Transformations will be linear. So we'll have that P goes to P prime, which is M dot P, where M is some matrix. Obviously, we must have that P prime is in S, that is an allowed state whenever P was an allowed state. There's a further thing that I need to say about transformations. Suppose we have a particular M, which is an allowed M, it's well defined, acting on some single system. But then what we actually have is that system in some joint state with some other system, and then we do M just on the first system. What is its effect on the joint system? We have to define this. Well, in fact, if you stipulate that the transformation M commutes with distant measurements, then its action on the joint system is well defined. When I say that M commutes with distant measurements, I mean that if Bob over here puts some input into his box, gets some output, and then Alice does a transformation on her resulting state, this is the same as if Alice did the transformation first on the joint state, and then Bob puts in the input and gets that particular output. I have assumed that measurement probabilities are linear functions of the state vector, and also transformations are linear. Why linearity? Well, with nonlinear transformations, of course, in general, you'll be able to distinguish different convex combinations corresponding to the same state vector P. And so one would have to say that P is not a complete description of the system. This in turn will in general allow signaling in those theories which have non-local correlations. Which would seem unnatural given that we set things up so that the states themselves were non-signaling. More bluntly, we might just say that when you allow non-linearity, all hell tends to break loose. The theory becomes a lot more messy. There are these proposals for solving NP-complete problems in polytime with non-linear quantum mechanics and this sort of thing. So because of this, I think it's probably more interesting to restrict to investigating theories which may be different from quantum mechanics but preserve the feature of being linear. So much for the general sort of framework. To specify a particular theory within this framework, we proceed as follows. First, we have to specify the allowed types of system. And by type, I mean that a particular type of system has some Well, it's one of those black boxes with a particular number of inputs and outputs. In other words, we have to specify how many fiducial measurements there are to required to specify the state of the system and how many outputs they have. Then for each allowed type of system, we have to specify the set of allowed P, set of allowed states. And in interesting cases, this will be convex because we'll allow arbitrary mixtures of allowed states. And finally, we'll simply allow all measurements and transformations which act in a proper way on the allowed states of the theory. Here are some interesting examples of particular theories lying within this framework. And the first is that we allow all types of system, and we allow all states as long as they're non-signaling. I call this generalized non-signaling mechanics, or GNSM. And this, of course, is the theory which includes those PR box things amongst its possible states. So I suggest that if we want to ask about information processing possibilities with these PR boxes, then looking at this particular toy theory is what we should be doing. A second example of a theory in this framework is one where we allow all types of system, and for a single system, we allow any state. But we demand that multipartite states must be local, so there's no violation of Bell inequalities or anything like that. I call this generalized local mechanics, or GLM. The third example is a kind of variant of QM where we say that states must be locally quantum. But global states can be anything consistent with that and with non-signaling. And I think this is pretty much what Howard was talking about a couple of days ago. So for the purposes of this talk, that's called Howard's mechanics. Another example is, of course, quantum mechanics itself. And also you can just get a basic classical probabilistic theory, which is what you get if you specify that the only allowed types of system are those with a single input or a single fiducial measurement. So, these theories which I've just mentioned, well, they all have the following properties: non-signaling states, linear dynamics, and the fact that the global state can be completely determined by local measurements. That much is obvious because I put all of that in by hand. Apart from that classical theory, the very last one I mentioned, they also have the following features. They have non-commuting measurements, where by that I just mean different measurements that you can't do at the same time. We have that measurement in general disturbs the system. There are fuzzy joint measurements of non-commuting observables and a no-cloning theorem. All of that follows quite easily from the linearity of the dynamics. How about this GNSM theory in particular? That this was the one where we just allow all non-signaling states and includes the PR boxes and so on. Well, you can do key distribution in this theory. I'm not going to go into this. You can do key distribution because it turns out these PR boxes have a sort of property of being monogamous in much the same way that the entanglement of a singlet state is monogamous in standard quantum mechanics, and this allows an Eckert-style protocol. Communication complexity is trivial, as we know. It turns out that you can't do teleportation. That this has actually been shown by the Bristol group, in particular Sandu Popescu and some of the postdocs there, Tony Short, Louis Pisanis, who've been working on some related issues to this. Whether you can do bid commitment or not is unclear at the moment. You can try to construct an analog of the standard quantum mechanical Mayer's-Low-Chow no-go theorem for bit commitment, and it's easy to see how the analog should look in this context. The problem is it doesn't go through. There may, of course, be some other no-go theorem for bit commitment. How about the generalized local mechanics? This is the one where single systems could have any state, but global states of multipartite systems had to be local. Well, this is a great one if you like cryptography. You can do key distribution, although not Eckert style, because there's nothing really corresponding to entanglement in this theory, but you can do it with a BB84 style protocol. You can also do oblivious transfer, bit commitment, and probably a whole host of other two-party cryptographic tasks. Okay, I would like now just to look at, well, the dynamics in this GNSM and theory and the GLM theory in a little more detail, and hopefully try to get across some insight about why teleportation doesn't work. Consider the simplest non-trivial single system in these theories, which is one of these boxes that takes a two-valued input and produces a two-valued output. All states are allowed, so the pure states will be the deterministic ones where the output has a definite value for each input. And the set of states is a square with the vertices corresponding to the pure states. If we interpret x equals 0 as a sigma z measurement and x equals 1 as a sigma x measurement, then we can plot the quantum mechanical allowed states in this diagram. And they, of course, are a circle inscribed in the square. So in our GNSM and GLM theories, allowed transformations have to take points in the square to points in the square. So here are some examples of allowed transformations. This is just a rotation of the square by 90 degrees. This is a rotation. Is my bit of chalk appearing? This is a rotation by 45 degrees with a little bit of shrinkage, so it's irreversible. And this is some weird sort of compression and shear, perhaps, combined with sort of little translation and is obviously also irreversible. Simply rotating by 45 degrees is, of course, not allowed, because those vertices of the square get taken to meaningless points outside the set of allowed states. Of course, it is allowed in quantum mechanics because the points in the circle get taken to points in the circle, and it corresponds to something like a pi by 8 gate. So the general idea to take away from this is that expanding the set of allowed states tends to restrict the set of allowed measurements and transformations. And so there's a kind of trade-off between the two. So coming back to teleportation, why is there no teleportation in this generalized non-signaling mechanics? Well, it's because the required Bell basis measurement that Alice has to do in the teleportation protocol is in fact not properly defined on PR box states. Of course, this isn't a problem in quantum mechanics because there aren't any PR box states. But once you introduce them, if this measurement isn't properly defined, then it has to go. And it turns out that not only will the obvious scheme for teleportation not work, but no scheme will work. So from looking at this square of possible states, we may get the sense that the dynamics in these GNSM and GLM theories is kind of trivial. especially if you look at reversible dynamics, all you can do is rotate the square by some multiple of pi on 2 or reflect somehow. And in fact, I have a theorem to this effect. It is pretty much trivial. If we consider a single system in the GNSM or GLM theory, with, say, n fiducial measurements, or n inputs in the other terminology, with k outcomes each, then an allowed transformation is trivial in the following sense. It can always be performed passively by a convex combination of relabelings of inputs and outputs. Well, I hope it's clear what I mean by relabelings. For example, if Alice has one of these systems and gets output A equals 0, she can always just decide to call that A equals 1 and call A equals 1, 0. That's an example of a relabeling. Okay. How about computation in these theories? Well, we can define a sort of circuit model for computation in the reasonably obvious way. You start off with a bunch of single systems, each prepared in some state according to the inputs. We do transformations on them in a sequence, in a sort of network arrangement. And finally, at the end, we'll simply perform the zero fiducial measurement. To define this model of computation formally and properly, I'd have to say a lot more, put a lot of constraints and things on it, as you do in the classical and quantum circuit models for computation. I'm not going to go into it all. It turns out that computation in this generalized local mechanics theory is no better than classical. And this is essentially because the dynamics are so restricted that it's just as easy to simulate the evolution classically. Well, no, actually there are two reasons for this. One is that the states are restricted. There's no entanglement or non-locality. So it's sort of easy to track the state as it goes through the computation. And the other reason is the dynamics. Being trivial, which comes about because we've allowed all possible states of a single system. We have that whole square rather than just the circle, say, or something smaller. How about computation in the GNSM theory, the theory with PR boxes? Well, one might have suspected that computation would be more powerful when you allow these objects, especially in view of Van Damme's result for communication complexity. Actually, it's not so clear, and I conjecture that computation in this theory isn't any better than classical. It rather depends on whether there are non-trivial transformations, that is, joint transformations on multipartite systems. The theorem I showed you and said that the transformations on single systems are trivial. So something I'm looking at the moment is trying to extend that and show that the joint transformations are also trivial in a similar way. That would mean that computation in this theory is no better than classical. Having said that, there is actually a kind of a weird consequence of allowing all non-signaling states, which is this. You can run a computation without actually yet knowing what the input to your computation is. And you can leave it for a long time if you want. And later, when you do know the input, you can, in a single time step, find out what the computation evaluated on that particular input is. So roughly, we do this by starting with n single systems, prepared just in some standard state, such as output 0 for all inputs. You perform some transformations on these systems corresponding to some computation. And then later, as I said, you can determine the result of the computation evaluated on any one input. And you do this just by inputting either x equals 0 or 1 into each different system as required. I would love it if anyone who knows computer science could tell me if there's any kind of precedent for this kind of thing. I'm also assuming that you can't do anything like this in quantum mechanics. But would also love it if someone could prove it to me. Okay, that's pretty much it. Let me conclude with speculation, which I wondered about a while ago and was also mooted to me by Howard over a curry a couple of nights ago. In this framework, as I said before, there seems to be this kind of trade-off between allowed states and allowed dynamics, with corresponding implications for the information processing possibilities of any given theory. So the question is QM optimal in some sense? Whatever that may mean. Okay, thanks.